quitting everywhere.
In Jesus' name, we'll press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Oh, dear Lord.
For that strength tonight. Amen. We'll go ahead and take the prayer request tonight. And Brother Robert Marrero and his father are with us tonight. And one of you, if you'll come and lead us in prayer, Brother Robert, your father, we'll go ahead and just read these requests to you. Remember healing for myself and that my daughter Rachel, also my grandson Dion, receive the Holy Ghost. That's from Brother Fred Green. Please pray for Sister Laura Krause. She has the shingles, swollen glands in her neck. She's causing severe headaches, so I know that can be very painful. Let's remember her. Sister Lana Jones asked for prayer. She's hurt her back. Also, please remember Brother Joel Brown's family, with the exception of the baby Zion. Everyone in the family is sick right now, so they need our prayers. This is from Brother Randy Scott. It said to remember a friend of mine. His name is Matt, and his grandfather passed away this week. Also to remember his cousin Joanne and her husband. They lost their son to an overdose a few nights ago, only 26 years old. So let's remember them. Also, his wife's back went out yesterday in a lot of pain. So let's remember those requests. Also for Melanie Moore. She's in a hospital in Arizona. She's in very serious condition. Ask you to pray for her. Also, Brother Joe Pascal. He's in the hospital, very serious condition. After having open heart surgery and a pacemaker a few days ago, he now developed some complications, has pneumonia, thinks some infection in his legs. So let's remember Brother Joe. Also, please remember Linda Kennedy in prayer for her back, tremors in her body. So let's just stand tonight as Brother Robert comes and take these needs to the Lord. Thank you, Brother Robert. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Greetings, saints, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here in Happy Valley again. I call this my home second church. Amen. You all must be happy, right? Well, all these series of messages your pastor has been preaching. Let me tell you something. If there's a church in the message that should be happy, it's Happy Valley. You have a pastor that lays it the way exactly Brother Brandon spoke it. And with a correct spirit, always. I never, during this treatment, that's years I know Brother Donnie, I never saw Brother Donnie say anything outside God's word. So you respect your pastor, you love him, and love one another. Let's go into the Lord in prayer for this request. Amen. I feel strange. I don't see Brother Louis. Brother Louis saying something bad about me, and he must be sitting somewhere. Man, I'm lucky. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, is so glad, Lord, I'm so glad to be part of the member of this bride. Father, I'm so glad that you're Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm so glad, Father, that you have people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad that you have people that will accept your word, Father. I'm so glad that you got people that are in their right mind. To be in that right mind, you have to be in Christ. And to be in Christ, said Brother Branham, you need to have the Holy Ghost. To be converted, you need the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad, Father, that amongst the negativity, Father, that there is around the world, especially the message churches, Father, your people love you, Father, and they believe your word, Father. Father, we bring this request, Father, before you, Father. Many of them are sick. Father, you are the only healer, Father, that we have. Brother Brandon said that man could pray for the sick, but man do not heal the sick. God healed the sick. We do it as a sign of faith by laying hands on the people, Father. But Brother Brandon said it's God that does the healing. Oh, Father God, we believe your word, Father, the way it is, Lord. And we believe that you are our healer. This is why you went to Calvary, Father. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single request, Father, that was put here on this pulpit, Father, may you answer it, Father, according to the richness of your will. And those unspoken prayer requests, Father, no doubt that there are many sick people around the world, Father. Your children, Father, are always needed people, Father. May you do your will, Father, according to your word, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you, saints. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Robert. It's good to have Brother Robert and his father with us tonight. Appreciate them being here. You can be seated tonight.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you, just how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through? Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the wind. So you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord. Days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. Says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the wind, it hushed and it gave. Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Oh, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you, just how far you've come. And every time you ask. ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through? So you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of them just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I knew it all again.
Yeah, we'll ask the brothers to come if they will and lift the offering. Also, they wanted us to remind you tonight that the clocks moved tonight. So let's all remember to do that. We're going to spring forward tonight. And also, we're going to have the instrumental tonight. So let's, if those brothers will come on, go ahead and be getting set up. Y'all come on to the platform. And let's just sing another song. Somebody told me that I always sing special songs when I lead congregationals, so I'm going to do it again. Let's sing I Want to Know How It Feels.
Amen.
Well, I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it on their knee. They said that nothing compares to what's waiting up there. How one day I'll finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, oh, but I'm gonna keep believing. It's a place like you and I have never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, cause my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I want to know what it's like.
life that I'm living seems a piece of something I never find. I try to lighten my load with all that I've got to show. It's 700 things on my mind. Oh, but I keep seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see that look of love on my Savior's face.
sure appreciate that. A lot of talent right there. Brother Nathan Bryant is with us, and Brother Trevor, glad to have a couple ministers visiting with us tonight. Brother Nathan, if you go ahead and come and sing. And then there's a couple here from Alabama, I think on their honeymoon, or maybe it's an anniversary. Is this number 52? Is that right, Brother Homer? 52, Brother Homer and Sister Marge is with us tonight.
Amen. You pray for me tonight. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a friend who's watching over me when the breeze turns into a gale. Is that how you feel tonight? Oh, I know the master of the wind, and I know the maker of the rain. Oh, he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. And sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights. Among the peaks my soul can be found. Some unexpected storm, it may drive me from the height. It may bring me low, but it won't bring me down. Oh, 'cause I know master of the wind, I know the maker of the rain. Oh, he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Now sometimes we soar like an eagle to the height. Among the peaks our soul can be found. Some unexpected storm, it may drive us from the height. It may bring us low, but it'll never bring us down. 'Cause we know the master of shine again. We know the master of the wind. Sing that with me if you would. Oh, we know the master of the wind, and we know the maker of the rain. Let Jesus calm your storm, make your sun shine again. He is the master of the wind. Oh, let Jesus calm your storm, make your sun shine again. He is the master of the wind. Oh, I know the master of the wind. Make your sun shine again. I know the master of. Let's sing it one more time together. Oh, the bride knows the master of the wind. The bride knows the maker of the rain. Oh, he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. He is the master of the wind.
You better know him as many storms as we got going on. Let's turn, if you would, to the book of Genesis tonight. Are you happy to be in the house of God?
Yes, sir.
I'm always nervous whenever I preach, but I'm really more nervous when there's more preachers here. So, all these other preachers and goodness. Certainly appreciate our brothers coming by to visit with us and be here. Brother Homer and Sister Margie, can you imagine the 52nd anniversary and they come to Happy Valley for an anniversary? I thought, what in the world? I guess they want to come see friends, huh? Amen. So I appreciate them too. Let's read Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And before we read, how many believes this is the Word of God?
Amen.
How many believes God's Word is infallible?
Amen.
Perfect.
Amen.
Let's read together. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now watch how Moses breaks this down. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, Yetzer, purpose, imagination, device, intellectual framework. This is before your thoughts become thoughts. This is the building stage, imagination. That every imagination of the thoughts, I look at the word thoughts, device, plan, purpose, invention. So here it is in the first stage, it's the imagination stage, and then the thoughts of his heart. Now wait a minute, what about his head? So a man thinks in his heart? So God saw the every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now look at after the flood, Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. Noah offers a sacrifice unto God, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So now here had been a progression. Before the flood time, which is several years from chapter 6 to chapter 8, it was that the man was more mature when it struck him. But now, as time had gone on and sin had got worse, now God himself says, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Now, from that, I want to speak to you tonight on affected by our paradigms. Affected by our paradigms. Anybody have any idea what a paradigm is? Some of y'all think a paradigm is two dimes. A pair of dimes. But Jerry, that was your explanation of it? A paradigm is our perception of reality and the world that is around us. It's the way we perceive things, the way we look at things. And our paradigm may or may not be correct. But it is the way that we perceive things, the way that we view things. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight. We've been given the honor again and the privilege that we could come together, Lord. We thank you, Father. We know that our nation has fallen so far from what our founding fathers established and wanted her to be. She's fallen so far. The central prophet came to the earth and left the earth. But yet, as of tonight, as far as we know, we still have the privilege, and it's not against the law, for us to meet this way. If we want to meet seven times a week, we want to have church every day out of the week. Thus far, we can do it. We don't know how it will be before we leave this world, but we want you to know we are still grateful for the opportunities that we have to be able to assemble ourselves together. And Lord, we've not come that we could see one another, though that would be good, but we could do that at a restaurant or in one another's homes. But we've come here tonight, Father, that we might be benefited, that something of eternal value would be deposited within us, that we could be strengthened, we could be corrected, we could receive divine inspiration from you. So I pray that you'd help us. Lord Jesus, I've prayed, I've studied, I've done everything that I know to do. And still in all of that, what could I do? What words could I have as one mortal speaking to these other mortals? If there be anything of eternal quality that will come out of the service, it'll have to be you that does it. So I ask your help tonight, Lord. I need you. We all need you. Speak to us from your word, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's read, if you would, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. David speaking to Solomon, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know now the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart." Now remember the Hebrews, when they would say no, speaking to another in this frame of mind, it was not to know God from an intellectual standpoint, or to know about his doings, know of his works from a mental standpoint, but to be able to really know him in a reality. Now watch David as he says to Solomon, "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart." How could this be when there was nothing in the Old Testament to make a man perfect? But you see, the English word that we use here is in the Western civilization, when we read it this way, we doesn't get the right perspective of what David was saying. Actually, the Hebrew word that he used was shalom, which is complete, whole, full, at peace, peace of covenant, and peace, or of peace mind. Now watch, as David is getting ready to go off the scene, and Solomon is fixing to move on the scene, David is prepared by the instruction of God. He gives Solomon the plans to build the house of God. He not only gives him the material plans, but God has blessed David to where David would be allowed to get the material together. Not just the plans on skins, write down the size, the cherubims, all that sort of thing, but God had given David under his administration many of the materials that would be needed, not all of it, but much of the material that would be needed to build the house of God. God had given it to David. And because of David's great love that people had for him, he was able to make contacts from Ophir, from which the gold would come. He was able to make contacts with King Hiram, of which the cedar would come. He was able to make contacts of different people. Now, David was a predecessor in what he was doing, so that Solomon, it would be somewhat easier for Solomon in being able to step in what he was going to do. And as we know, David was not allowed to build the house of God, but God allowed him to do certain things leading up to the making of this house. So David knows that Solomon is going to have a great job, because he knew God made it hard to be king. So he knew that Solomon would need some real godly instruction. So David wants to give something to Solomon as his days are numbered. Now he's going to be leaving before long. So he wants to give him something that he feels like will be able to hold Solomon through. And during this, David mentioned to him three times, over and over again, about a perfect heart. It's just sad that Solomon did not hold on to the instruction of his father as he got older and he got away from that completeness in his heart to serve God. But here David has broke into a realm. Now think, a man without the Holy Ghost, a man that didn't have doctors and didn't have MRIs and didn't have all kinds of things the way that we would have today to prove a lot of these things scientifically. But yet David had an understanding that a man could serve God, but he could serve God with a perfect purpose and motive that would be merged together with his entire being. David had seen how Saul had served God before him, and he saw that there was not a completeness out of Saul. Now Saul would do, but Saul was the kind of a guy, he was a pick and choose sort of a fella. He'd do the parts that he wanted to do. He would do them fervently. I mean, oh man, he would go out there, but he was a pick and choose sort of a guy. So he would choose this, and he would pick that, and if he really liked to do it, man, he was all after it. But if he didn't want to do it, he didn't think there's no value, he'd just forget about it. So David saw that Saul was not the type of a man that really served God with all of his whole heart. Now, I don't know exactly how David knew it, unless it's by divine inspiration, to see that a man's heart in that time frame, that there was something spiritual about a man's heart. Of course, it wasn't the muscles that was beating in his chest, but the heart was referred to in the same interchangeable word in the Old Testament as nehesh, which was the soul. So they would interchange heart and soul, and even sometimes spirit, and even the word sometimes mind. So David knew, even without the Holy Ghost, that a man could serve God in a completeness, or a man could serve God in partiality. And he had saw before him the different people around him that had served God in a partiality, and he'd seen how that they had went on with God for a while, and they would live for God for a while, and then they'd draw back, and then they'd go back, and they'd constantly go this way. And David saw that for himself, even in his own backslidings, that David had missed God too. But yet there was something about David that even when he got away from God, that completeness was not satisfied, that he could not be satisfied serving God in a backslidden state. He had to come back. He had to repent. He had to make the thing right. He bore it the rest of his life, but he could not live that kind of a life. Are you that way tonight? You're a blessed person if you are. Now notice what he said, serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Now see how David is able to project then that there is something that comes from within the supernatural part or the soul or the unseen, but there was also something that must come from the mind. Now the mind, of course, was they knew enough about it to know. It was a part about you that you thought. It was in there that they already had a concept of what that the subconscious, no doubt they might not have called it this, but there was something there. David had dreamed dreams. David had been in the presence of God and saw that there was an element that God could use about him that the first man could not touch. So he knew that there was a division in his own being, and that divisible part was able to reach a hold to God when the outside part would be so weak he didn't know what to do. He might not have known the terms to say it and the words to say about it, but yet he knew there was a part there. And we know today it's the two men. It's the one man down in the engine room and the other man up here, and they both got to be saying the same thing. Now, notice how David then says that Solomon must serve God with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Now, notice why what he bases this on. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Now watch, David is not saying that God understands thoughts once they have already been formulated and now they're going to be acted on, because an action is only a furtherance of a thought. An action is only a furtherance of a thought. So David was already broke into it to understand that before it is ever a thought, before it is ever a deed or an action, that God even understands when it begins in the perceiving or the framework stage. Now we think about it and we say, well, our thoughts, they don't really matter one way or the other. Oh, but my friends, they do matter. Now I want you to notice here tonight, they matter even before they actually become thoughts. Now I don't want to go over your head tonight, but thoughts, your thoughts actually are electromagnetically charged. And they release from you whether they are positive or negative thoughts. They not only release chemicals in your brain and in your body, but they release electromagnetic charges which create an atmosphere on the inside of you.
And they had the ability, you just think a thought, a troubling thought, or somebody sends you a phone call or a text or an email, and you can be having such a good day, and there will be something in that text or that email, and they may not even go into the details about it, but according to what your paradigms are, you will begin to imagine what they're not saying, which many times is worse than what they will say once they tell you. Now, why do we do that? It's because of preconceived ideas that we've dealt with this brother before or this sister or the negativity that is bred in us by our paradigms. You don't remember it, and many of you may not even believe it, but according to science and according to the people who study these things, you operated from the time you were born, from 0 to 5 years old, you operated totally on your subconscious. Completely. Totally. God help us. Do you realize much of your paradigms, and many of your paradigms, were formed by the time you're 5 years old? 5 years old. Watch this now, how David, we'll get into that in a minute, how David said, "The Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." Not the imagination of the hearts, but the imagination of the thoughts, which would be the framework or the beginning stage of where thoughts actually begin. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now, David had learned something, no doubt, within his own fault of falling for Bathsheba whenever he was moved to number the people and the different mistakes that David had made. He had learned, and no doubt he reminisced, instead of just asking God to forgive him for that mistake, which many people, that's all they do. When they make a mistake, they just simply ask God to forgive them, and they never go back and reevaluate what caused me to do that. What can I learn out of this so I don't do this again? I don't know about you. I don't want to just say, "God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." I want to learn how to be an overcomer. So instead of saying, "Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me," I can say, "Thank you, Lord, you kept me out of that. Thank you, Lord, you led me out of that. Thank you, Lord. Boy, that was close, Lord. But the Holy Ghost led me out of that trap." Notice in 1 Chronicles 29:17. Now, if these scriptures are strange to you, then, it was to me too, till this morning before daylight, whenever I was in the presence of God, and I thought that I had the particulars lined out for the beginning of this service tonight, but the Lord kept speaking something over and over and over into my heart, and but I got up this morning, I started sitting at it, and I thought, oh my, how wonderful. Now, watch this. "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly to thee." Now listen to this verse. "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people." Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart. Now remember what God said. The reason he was going to destroy them in the antediluvian destruction. Because the imagination of their hearts was continually evil after the flood. Then he says man's heart from a youth is continually on evil. But here is another approach to that. That God can put something in the imagination of their thoughts, that God can deposit something in there that will reverse the evil. It will not just be how bad this is and how wrong this is, but God can actually teach you in the imagination of the thoughts of your heart. It will be positive on the word. He is my redeemer. He is my deliverer. He is my king. I am victorious. I'm more than a conqueror. Now remember, this is not New Testament when they're born again. If the thoughts, the imagination of the thoughts of the heart could be that powerful in the old, what about now that we got the Holy Ghost? Amen. Oh Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination. In the imagination. Why there?
That's the birthing place of your thoughts.
So instead of you imagine people's out to get you and everybody hates you, why don't you turn that imagination over to God and let God birth in you? You're part of a family. We are brothers and sisters. We're all going to the same place if we're saved. Now watch in Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. Now notice, the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward. This is why I say everybody that's turning away from this message couldn't have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost never goes backwards. Many of you that are trying to straighten some of these folks out, defectors of the message, and you're trying to straighten them out on doctrine, don't you understand? It's not a lack of understanding doctrine. They ain't born again. They ain't got the Holy Ghost. They couldn't be sealed with the Holy Ghost and turn away from the Word of God. Blaspheme God's prophet. Ain't no way you can be born again. You might be a church member, you might be a message member, but if you're born again, you always stay with the Word. Whether you understand it or not, you'll say, amen. Good luck trying to tell them. Notice Jeremiah 16:12. You have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart. Notice, not just thought stage, but just the bedding ground, the imagination, constantly conjuring up, constantly thinking about things that was anti-word. If God says you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're His and you belong to Him, and you let the devil and your imagination tell you that you're of the devil and you're serpent seed, you're just as guilty as they were. Because you're denying the work the Holy Ghost has done in your heart. It's a false report. It's evil. If you're born of the Spirit of God and got the Holy Ghost, and yet because of so much negative stuff, oh, I ain't saved, I ain't going to heaven, I'm not the bride, you're saying something contrary to His own work in your life.
Brother Donnie, I just imagine I'm going to hell. I don't imagine it none.
I don't think about hell. I don't talk about going to hell. I imagine shouting down streets of gold is what I imagine. I imagine picking leaves off the tree of life and walking down that great paradise of God. I don't think about going to hell because it ain't my home. I don't think about missing the rapture because I ain't going to miss the rapture. I don't think about going to hell. I don't think about being lost. That's not me. But I imagine, hallelujah, being with you in the paradise of God. I'm going to give my imagination to Him.
Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. And they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say, listen to this, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Why would God so focus on the imagination of the heart? Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Branham goes into it like this, and he says, the mind is the womb for the spirit. What? To take in or let out. That's how they commit adultery. Is let some devil spirit put in them something against the Word of God. And the saints said, then she's committed adultery. Eve received. Now he said, listen to this. Wrong seed word. Satan's lie.
So wrong seed word was Satan's lie. She did not receive it in her womb, her physical womb, first. She received it in the womb of her mind, and her imagination began to run wild with her. And her imagination could do what conscience couldn't do. Her imagination could do what other things of her spirit could not do. It had the ability to imagine what it would be like being with the serpent. Memory couldn't do that. Affection couldn't do that. But imagination could. So imagination can lead to sin. Praise the Lord. Now your imagination is a wonderful thing. Animals don't have it, you know. It's one of the things that separates us and the very top of the animals is that we have an imagination. Animals cannot imagine. They do not have that ability. They have a spirit, but God did not multifacet them in this world. They would be able to imagine if they could do that, then they could go from that on into the birthing process of a thought. So in the imagination part, where does man invent? Where does man look and see a certain thing and say, that could be made easier if we could do this or this or this? Where does it come from? It doesn't come from here first. It doesn't come from his mouth first. But it will come in the imagination, and he has the ability, being an amateur creator, he has the ability, but with that can come such great devastation that in that the man can imagine all kinds of bad things and all kinds of wrong things and all kinds of defeat and all types of stuff that's just as anti-word as it can be. But do you know that God has to have your mind before you can get saved? Don't make no difference how much predestinated seeds you got in your soul. God has to have access to your mind before you can get saved. The new birth has to come through that channel. Now watch this. Anytime that a woman takes the wrong step, I'm talking about Christ and the bride now. Anytime a woman takes a wrong step, she has to first receive it in her mind. That's right. Some slicker has to persuade her. And she listens to it. And against her own better judgment. Now what is overriding her better judgment? Imagination. The fruit is pleasant. A tree to be desired. To make one wise. You see, man is made that way. It's the Pandora's box type of thing. We just can't stand it. That's why folks get all these websites and they get their curiosity all fired up and get all, man, what's everybody talking about? Oh my, click, 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 www.gotohell.com, youwillbelost.com, stayawayfromthattrash.com. I call them Facebook pack rats. Because they go on these websites and they cut and paste. And then they go on this and they cut and paste. Facebook pack rats. Packing a bunch of trash around. That's the way a pack rat does. You folks shouldn't be pack rats. You're supposed to think on things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are honest, things of a good report, not a bunch of pack rats. Woo! Praise the Lord. Why? Where does it begin, friends? It begins in that great ability that God gave man, the imagination. And they just can't leave it alone. How many of you don't raise your hands? The first cigarette you drawed, the first drink, the first thing that you done wrong like that, and you knew you shouldn't have done it, but there was something about it, and your imagination was so powerful, it moved you, said, I think I'll try it. But do you know where that was birthed at? Do you know where it started? In the imagination. Thank God for it. What would we be tonight if it wasn't here? Some of y'all would have to left for church last week. You'd still be walking. Thank God. Man come up with wheels, then he come up with horses, then he come up with a car, then he come up with an airplane. Thank God for all of that. But if we don't know how to use it and control it, it can devastate us. Watch this. Brother Ben said she had to receive it in her mind. That's right. Some slicker had to persuade her, and she listened to it against her own better judgment. Then the acts committed. So first it hit, Satan hit Eve's mind. And in the womb of her mind, she doubted God's word. Then come the actual act. Again, watch him now. Reverse it. The only way we can ever be born again, I love this, is first in the womb of the mind, receive the word. So I wonder, what about a body change then? Since it is my body that's going to be changed, my soul has already been changed. Reckon I'll have to receive thoughts from God about the rapture and the resurrection and the change and the new birth. Reckon it's just going to come to my soul. My soul's already changed. My body is what needs to catch up with my revelation. Now watch how the new birth comes. The only way we can ever be born again is first in the womb of the mind receive the word. Then the spirit comes on top of that. And brings it. Notice exact parallel to the answer of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan, when he sowed his lie first in the womb of her mind, and then the seed came on top of that inside the womb, what did it produce? Cain. What does God do? God send the word. Somebody hands you a book. Somebody give you a tape or sitting in a church where a preacher's preaching, whatever it was, got a hold to your heart and something began to move and you thought, oh, I know there's a better way. There's got to be a better way. What is it? It's being birthed in your imagination. And you begin to imagine your life without a cigarette. Imagine your life without being drunk. Oh, glory to God. You begin to imagine your life without a hangover after the weekend. And imagine, how would it feel to feel the Holy Ghost running up and down your back? How would it feel to be born again? And in the imagination of your thought pattern, something began to lead you toward God. What's this? Note Mary's womb. He repeats himself. Mary's womb. The physical mind, see, was virgin womb. Why? She believed God's word. No matter how much anybody criticized, how many things somebody else said that didn't have, not a million things, that didn't have one thing. All the chatter, 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 chatter. I don't have nothing to do with us. I don't talk squirrel talk. In case you didn't know it, I ain't no squirrel. Glory! I'm a child of God. I don't talk squirrel talk. Notice, oh, I wish I could get that over, he said. Are you getting it? See, first was her mind. Before the act ever taken place in her literal womb, the act had to take place in your first to let the Spirit come in. An act? You mean an act is taking place in Mary's mind. Be it unto me according to thy word. Friends, that's where a lot of the message folks are missing it. This is the only act they know. Instead of a message book under their arm. Went to a library and got them a bunch of tapes and got them a belt buckle and got this and that and the other. That ain't the act we're talking about. We're talking about you dying and being born again. Oh, glory. Then no matter what comes or goes, the church is up or down or in or out, ain't gonna move you. You're part of the immovable rock. My, they can't move the bride. No more than you move God himself, she's a part of him. Yes, sir. Notice this, the act had to take place in here first to let the Spirit come in to do the rest of the work. Now, if God would bring Jesus Christ on the earth and he would follow this same pattern as Genesis 6, Genesis 8, 1 Chronicles 29, oh, Jeremiah 3, Jeremiah 7, if God would follow that same pattern, don't you believe he'd follow the same pattern for us? Before we can go on with these great, wonderful things of God, even leading up to a body change, will we not have to receive it in the spirit of our mind, in the womb? Amen.
My, notice Brother Branham says, oh, before the actual spiritual birth can take place, the word has to find itself through your mind. Believe it. Now, let's change a bit now. Let's look at paradigms. A paradigm is our perception of reality, our view of the world. It is our interpretation of events based on previous teaching we have received. Those teaching and experiences shape our belief system. Paradigms controls your lives. Think of paradigms as a multitude of habits. Those habits form through repetition. The term paradigm needs an explanation as it has different connotations for different people. But now watch. This doctor who devised this riddle or parable I'm fixing to share with you shared it with many, many hundreds and thousands of people in the states and different places where he goes and talks. And so the majority of the people don't grasp it. They don't catch the theme of the parable because of a preconceived paradigm. Now you see, whenever Satan has the ability to go into our imagination and our imagination goes to working and working, and then we feed on that, give birth to thoughts, we think on those thoughts, which releases the chemicals out of our body, and those chemicals go in and they begin to interface with one another, and they contact them, they're contesting the other cells, contacting that one and that one and that one, and they're releasing a packet of all these chemicals in our body, and you're thinking, I'm not sure I still love the Lord, I'm not sure I want to go to heaven, I'm not sure I want to serve God. You're growing a tree. You're growing a tree in your mind, and something has happened in the imagination of your heart. In that imagination is the bursting of your thoughts. Now listen to this. A father and a son are traveling down the road. They were engaged in a terrible accident. The father dies immediately on the side of the road. The son, somebody comes by and sees it. They call for the ambulance. They come and rush the son to the hospital. There's a famous surgeon there in the city. Famous, known, different cities in the medical field. So when they rush this boy in, this famous surgeon runs in to look at the boy. And says, I cannot operate on my son. So who is the surgeon? Now the doctor says, it's amazing how many people sit there with that deer in the headlight look like y'all are looking at me. And trying to figure out, who could that be? That's the way I looked when I read it too. I thought, would it have been his grandpa when he'd have called him son, or would it have been? No, you dummy, it was his mommy. His mother. His mother was the famous surgeon. But the doctor said because of paradigms in our mind, that for most people when you say the word surgeon, most of them will think the imagery in their mind will be a man. Was that the way it was for some of you all? Yeah, it was. Some of y'all still got that deer in the headlight look. You're still trying to figure it out. So what is that? That is a paradigm. Now what forms that in us? Well, maybe your father was operated on, your mother was operated on, or uncle or whatever more. And you see, you know, even though there's women surgeons that are upcoming and all that, but there's something about a paradigm. So when you hear a story, then you will process that story through the paradigms in your mind. You say, what's that got to do with us? We do the message the same way. When we listen to tapes according to what we have been taught about the message, we will pull through them tapes and hear according to the paradigms that are made in us. And I wonder how much we limit the Holy Ghost because our paradigms are so set in concrete. Well, glory. Now, what's this? A paradigm is a set of assumptions, concepts, values,
practices, and rules that constitutes a way of viewing reality. A set of assumed rules which form the basis of our conclusions and our decisions. Now remember, we got the Holy Ghost, and we're born of the Spirit of God, and we've got a gene down in our soul, which is the attribute of the Word. But God still comes to the access of ears and mind and conscience and subconscience, and you're hearing the Word tonight. You're not just hearing with your soul, but you're hearing with these ears, and they're listening and trying to keep up, and you're going to pull them down through the paradigms that you have about God, about me, about the way I think about you. Now, if you think I'll mention something that'll be right where you live, you're going to have a hard time because of a paradigm in your mind thinking he's throwing that right at me. Why do we think that? Paradigms. And you're right, I'm throwing it at every one of you. Myself included. I hope I wear myself out tonight. Or not me, really, the Word. Now, watch this. I found this so amazing. As a baby, the only thing you know is what your subconscious knows. Now think, friend, the grace of God knowing we would come by natural birth. If our conscience, our conduct, our breathing, our crying, our sleeping, all of that would have been based upon our first conscience, we probably wouldn't have lived 2 days. Because we would not have known to cry. We would not have known to breathe because God, oh my, God committed those activities to the subconscious before you even knew you had a conscience.
Oh, you're talking about grace.
Your subconscious tells you to open your eyes when you're awake, to sleep when you are sleepy, to cry when you are hungry. From the time that you were born to the time you reached the age of 5 years old, you are basically walking, breathing, and living on pure subconscious behavior, and your conscious mind is basically non-existent up to that age. And I guess as you get older, it kind of starts back that same way. Some of y'all think you're about there now, you know. You're not sure what world you're even in. Now, if it was not that way, how would we have lived? We would have died. Every time a baby comes to this earth,
you're talking about a miracle.
Not only it's being conceived and carried in the mother's womb, but who can tell that subconscious? Who programs it?
From 0 to 5 years old, you're operating on subconscious level. Now this is wonderful, but it's scary. Now watch, it is during this most important period of your life that the paradigm of your mind is formed. Oh my Lord.
From 0 to 5? When I was 1, 2, 3, 4?
But the good thing about it is, paradigms can be changed. If you take a paradigm and add a nickel, you can make a quarter out of it.
Paradigms aren't set in concrete. Paradigms are not unchangeable.
Aren't you glad for that?
Now watch this. In other words, it is at that time in your life that the most of the data of your subconscious mind is put in. Some verbally, some by repetition of behaviors of people around you. Now, your conscious mind was not even picking up that your mama and daddy or grandparents or whoever it was doing certain things, saying certain things, and operating in a certain way. Your conscious mind was not even watching and even alert. It couldn't be till just 5 years old. But your subconscious was constantly taken in. So you would watch mom, and you'd watch how mama would do. And you'd watch your brothers and sisters. You know how it is with a baby. Everybody talks baby talk when they get around a baby. How you doing? Goochie, goochie, goochie. And the baby's saying, can't you talk? So the baby cannot. The first conscience, it cannot. But it will watch repetition of behavior, not just words. Can't you see what Satan is trying to do to our society?
Can't you see why the homosexual community wants to be able to adopt babies when they're little? And that baby has grown up in a home with two mothers? Or two fathers? Oh Lord. And that baby's paradigms are changed. That baby then looks at that and will look at you with a mother and a father and think you are very strange. Because its paradigms will be molded and will be shaped, and that will be normal accepted behavior for that child.
My. Some verbally, some by repetition of behaviors of people around you, most likely your parents. And some by experiences that you may go through between the age of 0 and 5. A perfect example of most people's paradigm is that we can't be happy, fit, have a great relationship all at the same time. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you've heard it said that way. We can't have it all. Most of us have heard this statement many times before we reach the age of 5. Oh, you say, I don't remember it. It's not important that you remember it. The paradigms were set in you. Do you understand? Many of you are fighting battles tonight that you learned from your parents. Maybe they was having a hard time financially, and it was constant, we'll never make ends meet, it'll never work out, it always happens to the Reagans, we're always the poorest bunch, we never, and even though you was not even old enough, you're conscious to hear it, it was a paradigm being formed in your subconscious, and then you wonder, God, what's wrong with me, don't I love you? Sure you love him, but you're just fighting over the top of them old paradigms.
Praise the Lord.
Most of us have heard this statement many times before we reach the age of 5. It has become part of our paradigm. It is completely anchored in our subconscious mind.
God forgive me for any negative paradigms I sowed in my daughters. I didn't know better, Lord. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Don't sit there and well, blame my daddy. It wasn't just your daddy. You probably done the same thing, honey. You mamas have probably done the same thing. We've all done the same thing. We didn't know no better. We didn't know no different. Notice. Such statements and many other negative things that we learn as toddlers are learned either in plain words from our parents through their behaviors and other different ways. The important fact is,
glory, glory,
that the belief entered your mind's paradigm. It was put into your mind like data is put into a computer. And just like a computer, when data is put into our subconscious mind, the subconscious takes it as it is. Notice why. This part of our mind doesn't analyze. If it's true or not. If it makes sense or not, even if it's good or bad for us, for the subconscious mind, everything is true.
So when we heard these things, we don't analyze like we do with the first conscious. So we just take it, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it.
Lord help us. Watch this. I found this so phenomenal. The subconscious mind doesn't understand jokes. Now listen how serious this is. If you're saying jokingly to yourself that you are no good, that is what your subconscious truly believes. Now how many of you joke in a negative way about yourself or about others or your wife or your relationship or your children or your church or your pastor or whatever? And you do it in a negative way, and you're only joking. But remember, when you hear yourself saying that, the man down in the engine room does not analyze. So if you walk out of here and I say, oh, Brother Don, man alive, he's always wound up, ain't he? Man alive, he wears me out. The man in the engine room heard you say that. So then when my name comes back up again, according to what you're going to do with that information, you'll release chemicals. And you'll start building something toward me and feeling really different when my name is mentioned, and you don't even know why. The engine man in the engine room released all kinds of chemicals when you said that in a joking way. Friends, we should be careful what we say. We should be careful what we think. When we say, oh, this preacher burned me up. Boy, this old preacher, he's going to get up there and preach. I don't. Be careful what you're saying. Your subconscious don't hear that as a joke. Your subconscious takes that as facts. Do you know you're eroding your respect for the gifted men of God in your life when you're making those punches and jabs in a joking manner? Men that constantly throw off on their wife in front of people. I don't know why in the world men do that. But some men seem to get a kick out of making fun of their wife or ridiculing their wife in front of other people. Do you realize your subconscious is hearing you say that? I don't reckon some men think it's macho to brag on their wife in front of other people. You need to take a lesson from Macho God. Because there ain't never been nobody quite as macho as my daddy. And my daddy loves to talk about his wife. I mean, he talks about her in preaching. He talks about her in songs. He talks about her in psalms. He talks about her in prophecies. He talks about her in exhortation. He loves to talk about her in public. He loves to brag on her even sometimes when she needs a whooping. He loves to tell how good she is, how much he loves her, how much he thought about her before the foundation of the world. Surely you ain't going to call him a sissy. Well, whoever that was for, that was free of charge. Now watch how the subconscious is so different than the first conscious. The subconscious mind doesn't understand jokes. If you're saying jokingly to yourself that you're no good, that is what your subconscious truly believes. If you're saying to yourself jokingly that you are stupid, that is what your subconscious mind believes. All the beliefs, true, false, or indifferent, that floated around your household as you grew up from the day you were born to the time you reached age 5. Become your mind's paradigm. So what if your mama, your daddy, your brothers, or your sisters, or cousins, or whatever, was all the time you was the blunt of all of their jokes? What if you had a speech impediment? What if you couldn't walk like the rest of them? Children can be very cruel. And they attacked a nickname on you, and maybe mom and daddy picked it up too, not knowing that that was going to mold you and you'd fight that thing for the rest of your life. But friends, don't leave all the head down in the mouth tonight. There's hope. We can change our paradigms. Now watch this. If you want to change the kind of results you've been getting so far throughout your life, you need to change your paradigm. Amen. Repetition will input habits in the nerve cells in your brain. Amen. This consequently governs your thoughts and behavior. A well-worn path in the meadow happened by people repeatedly walking in it. The reason why repetition on positive thoughts is so powerful and necessary is that we live in a world where thoughts and images of lack and limitation are everywhere. It requires discipline of repetition to change your deepest thoughts and beliefs. There is a kind of strength achieved through the power of repeating oneself. Repetition, repetition, repetition. It works, it works, it works, it works, it works, it works. Daily repetition can develop a new habit to change paradigms. You say, Brother Dunn, it's the craziest stuff I ever heard in my life. And Brother Branham said. Now, healing is not something that you just say, well, yeah, I believe it, I believe it. Yeah, that's all right. That's the best you can do. Just mentally say it. Well, yes, I see it, I believe it, I accept it. Then if you accept it on that basis, keep saying it over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over just keep saying, what's he telling you? Oh, he might not have had the great scientific terms and the great medical explanation. Don't you understand? Many of them are just now breaking into what he said 50, 60 years ago. Glory. Yes, keep saying it over and over. Notice. Don't say it quiet. Don't say it to your spirit. You need to hear yourself say it. Why? That's when the subconscious is picking up. Just as you would joke about yourself, oh, you're dumb, you're stupid. Whenever your subconscious hears you say that, it is forming your paradigm. So here you're making new ones. I am healed. I am healed. I am healed.
Well, Brother Donnie, what do people hear me talking to myself? Everybody talks to themselves about something. The important thing about it is, what do you say to yourself? Right? Oh my, notice this. Say it out loud. Say it over and over. Just keep saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. I love this.
Say it until actually. Till actually you believe it. You mean a person can say it and not really believe it? Oh yes, they believe it intellectually, but it's not anchored down here and become a paradigm yet. But you say it until it becomes a paradigm and you hear yourself saying it. And finally your subconscious says, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free. I'm blessed. I'm bride.
You see, just as your subconscious works on your breathing, your blood pressure, your heart rate, when you lay down after a while to go to sleep, and your first conscience, you're totally out of it, and you're moving to la-la land, and you keep moving and moving, and you settle down, and you finally move in, and you're out of your first conscience. You would die if your subconscious did not kick in. Right?
Then your subconscious does not let go of things easy. It's the protector of the hidden things of you. So when you have a bad paradigm, don't think your subconscious is going to let go of it. Just call yourself, get out of here.
You ain't going to get out of there.
He's the inner working of your breathing, of your heart rate, of your blood pressure, of many things, the fight, flight thing. If something goes to hit you and automatically you raise your hand, that's not your first conscience.
Y'all tried the step thing? Try to walk down the steps and you just automatically do it automatically till you think about it. And then you think about it and then you know why? You're switching between first conscience and subconscious. And you'll nearly fall. I've done it on how many times preaching this series. Just to check myself out. It's amazing. It's amazing when you commit it to the subconscious. You don't have to even look at the steps. But once you go to thinking about it and you watching your feet, then you take it from the subconscious and the conscious goes to do it. Then you've got a conflict and going down the steps. All of you brothers have got a certain leg you put in your britches first every morning. Whether you're left-legged or right-legged. You probably got a sock that you put on first. Your sisters have got certain things about you do a certain way. That's committed to your subconscious. It'll go just as smooth as it can be. You go to think about it in the morning of the gym. And then you go to thinking about which leg Sister Linda here will come plop in the bathroom as you trying to get your britches on. Because you're battling from first conscience. Which is it I do anyway? Do I do left or right first? Oh my, I'm so confused. Just commit it to the unseen. And the unseen will act through you automatically. But because of that, when you go to try to take paradigms away from it, it holds to it. It's there to protect you. It don't know. It's holding to something that is damaging you. Praise the Lord. Brother Man, say it till you actually believe it. And when you believe it, it's going to take place.
Don't have a negative testimony. every time when you confess, well, I still feel bad today, I guess you go right straight back in the same rut that you was in the beginning. Now, what he called a rut, today, doctors and many of them would call a paradigm. So I'm healed. Oh, but I feel worse today than I did last night when I got prayed for. You see, your subconscious is holding to that. It kicks in that. See, you're not healed. And the man down in the engine room, the guy said, hallelujah, I'm healed, Gloria. I'm going to be a different person. Yes, sir, I believe this word. But the man down there said, hey, you're not getting my paradigms. I'm here to protect you. No, you're wrong. I don't understand wrong. I don't understand right and wrong. All I know is you fed me this for 40 years. There's not a man or woman in here that is baptized with the Holy Spirit. But once you start your confession, I believe I've lost the Holy Spirit. I believe it's gone from me. You'll go right down. Not just a person that's a church member, but baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why? You'll start changing your paradigm. And your subconscious will start feeding it back to you. That's why this, and that's why that, and that's why that. You'll sit in here preaching, you'll listen to tapes, but it won't go any farther than what your new form paradigm will allow it. Can I have a few more minutes? Watch this on the authority of the word. Brother Bam said, now bow your heads if you will. It's a mental nervousness. The woman asked, should I believe when I feel like I'm dying all the time? See, you must believe regardless of anything. See, you never go to your feeling. And which one of us Christians ain't guilty for that? You go to your faith, see. There's where you go. The lacking of it, sister dear. I want you to be well, see. But you see, it's a mental disturbance all the time. You must. Listen, friends, this is not an option. For some of these things, if you don't come this way, you will not get it. Some of the people were delivered right there, but not all of them. They would be delivered if they followed what he said. You must just keep saying, thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord. How you feeling? Wonderful. Thank God for my healing. And just keep on like that. You'll get well. She wasn't well then. Discernment didn't make her well. Telling her what was wrong with her didn't make her well. It's going to be her overcoming faith and confession. Something in this woman had to be changed. Her paradigm. Notice her attitude. Should I keep doing this? Should I keep doing this? Even if I don't feel like it. This is her paradigm. How long has she been sick? We don't know. How long has this been going on? We don't know. But this was now a part of her subconscious. And this was so strong to her that it overrode the command of God's prophet. I thank God for discerners like this, because we get certain keys that we don't get out of all of them that was healed on the platform. Now watch this. Oh my. Sometimes, he said, you see what I mean? There's where you climb up over the riffles there. It's a battle. You got to fight before you have the victory. Sometimes evil spirits want to hold on, and it's left to the people's faith. They've got to leave in the presence. That's true. But when they get away, they'll return. Don't you see what he's given to this woman? He's given her something that if the evil spirit would come back, she would have it on a basis of her own faith and confession in the word. That way she wouldn't have to run back to Brother Branham and run back in the prayer line again. It was based upon her own battle, and her own victory was God. Now let's just be honest, we're all lazy. We'd much rather have a miracle done right now, praise God. We don't have to believe. We just pack up and go to the house. We all got a miracle. That ain't the age we're living, friends. God still does miracles, signs, and wonders. We thank God for it. But that never matures your faith. by having a miracle church only will never bring us to maturity. We must believe for divine healing. And when you pray to this, say to this mountain, be thou moved, and you look and absolutely nothing happens. Yet maybe on the backside of that mountain, a little speck of dust went. And it was so small you didn't hear it, so little that you didn't see it, but your faith said, praise God, I'm healed anyhow. And you get up tomorrow and you got just as much pain and you say, praise God, I'm healed anyhow. And that becomes a paradigm, and that paradigm will make your body obey what you're saying. Oh my, let me read another one too, can I? You're going out here excited and trying to reach for something when it's right here by you. Just simple, just say, thank you, Father. You promised it to me. I now receive it. That's all. Watch what happens. Now mean it in your heart and just keep saying it over and over. And if you don't believe it altogether, that means you're a devil and you're going to hell and you're serpent seed, and don't you come back in the morning. If you don't believe it altogether, keep saying it until you do believe it. What are you doing? Changing a paradigm. So there's something in you that will not allow you to believe it. Maybe you've been prayed for again and again and again. That formed a paradigm. And you said to yourself when you come up with a prayer line, I might as well go. I've been prayed for over and over again. I don't guess it's any use. Subconscious coded. That's one thing I love about this prophet. It was just so simple to bring the word right down where we live every day. Don't you thank God for statements like this, church? If you don't believe it altogether, keep saying it until you do believe it. Just keep saying it over. I thank you, Lord, for my healing. Because what is he? Christ is the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Hebrews 2. All right, he's the high priest of our confession. He cannot do one thing for you. Can make no intercession until first you confess. Can you imagine? He don't say it first. You do. Then he acts on what you said. Lord Jesus. Now that is that scriptural high priest of our confession. Then he can only act when we confess. Let's stand together. Affected by our paradigms. Let me read you just a couple of things. We'll pick it up again in the morning, Lord willing. Jump down a little bit, Brother Eric. Positive talk pushes the chemistry of your brain in a positive direction. When you use positive self-talk on a regular basis, you do more than create a positive mind. You actually create a positive brain. I want you to listen to your thoughts. We'll pick up here in the morning, Lord willing. Thoughts are real energies released by the human brain. Energies likened to magnetic and electric impulses. These energies are broadcast into our mental atmosphere and can be picked up or tuned into as we do with wireless. Wireless. We said there's a wire. Wireless. That's an antenna. So these thoughts, these electromagnetic energies that come, whether they are positive or negative, it's not just the positive ones that carry the energy. Negative ones carry energy. That's why I thought, as I said earlier, a text, a phone call, an email, a thought about a difficult situation can bring a physical feeling over you. You ever had it happen? Sure we have. Think about a certain person that rubs you the wrong way, or a certain situation, a difficulty, and you're feeling very, very well. Do you understand? The psychologists and dietitians are now beginning to understand and teaching people not to eat when they are angry. Because when they take the food in their body and they are angry, and their body is so full of these chemicals, that it actually makes the food toxic. It saturates the food in this toxicity and it goes all through your body. Praise the Lord. I guess if some of you all didn't eat when you was mad, there'd be some skinny folks around here. We don't need no diet, I don't guess, do we? Lord, friends, listen to this. You're talking about powerful things. These energies are broadcast into our mental atmosphere and can be picked up or turned into as we do with wireless. Although through the medium of our subconscious antenna. So here is our subconscious. It's like an antenna. So our thoughts are projecting this wireless as it was. And it's there. And the subconscious is your antenna. If it's bad, negative, good, neutral, whatever it is. There are good thoughts and bad ones. And we must recognize that there are thoughts that vitally nourish our minds. And those that are poisonous to our well-being. Praise the Lord. Affected by our paradigms. Now let's take them paradigms and add a nickel to it. We'll make a quarter out of it. And we'll add another quarter to that. Add another quarter to that. We'll add a dollar to that. Another five, a ten. Let's add about a stack of $100 bills, spiritually speaking. And let's keep adding until we have so many positive paradigms in our mind. It's the emails and the text and the different things that I've been getting from people all over everywhere since I've been dealing with these things and saying that they're living a happier life. Just a happier person. I read one this week. I just couldn't keep from crying. I mean, I just couldn't keep from crying. I thought, Lord, it would be worth all the study and all the labor for that one person, because I know what they've been through. For that one person. Not that the circumstances have changed. It's not that this has spilled over and the whole world is better. It's probably worse. But they're learning how to deal with it better. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Oh Jesus, how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. The more I find out about all these things, even looking at it in the natural sense, the more I struggle with how these great men, these such brilliant brains, can believe we just evolved. We come from out of a baboon line or a monkey line and we evolved. To me, I see the trace of my Father's handiwork through every aspect of our creation. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these things. I don't have the ability to put it together maybe and express it like a lot of men. But I want to use the effort and the ability that you've given me to be able to bring it to your children. Lord, if there can be five lives that would be affected, my, what would it be worth? But Lord Jesus, we know unless we take it and apply it to our lives, it won't do any good just to hear it. We must put faith into action and say it whether we believe it or not, say it whether we feel it or not, until the repetition changes our paradigms. Instead of thinking everybody's out to get me, nobody likes me, everybody's against me, on and on and on and on, and make ourselves so paranoid and think nobody cares for us. And much of it is nothing but a lie. But Lord, these things have not only helped me to understand me, it's helped me to understand others. And give me more patience, I guess I would say, and more tolerance for people. To see that many of them as a little 3-year-old boy, little 2 or 3-year-old girl that was whipped and beat on, picked on by a brother, maybe even sexually fooled with by an older person in the home that the parents didn't even know it. And yet that embedded a fear of men inside their hearts. Maybe it's a little girl and a grandpa or a great uncle or whoever done things he shouldn't have done. Mom and daddy still don't know it to this day. But that little girl of 2 or 3 or 4 is now a 40-year-old woman. It's still embedded in her paradigms. She don't trust her husband.
She don't trust me. She trusts no man. She puts on a good front. She smiles, shakes hands. But down inside of her, she trembles when she gets near any man. It's because that paradigm is there and the subconscious is doing what it's supposed to do. But the wrong information was fed into her. So it goes into the fight-flight mode. So when she gets around a man, she's nervous. Same with a little boy. Maybe a boy that was whipped very, very bad when he was small. Maybe he had a lisp. Maybe he had a limp. Maybe he had something there. Always laughed at and made fun of. His daddy did it. His mama. His siblings. Embedded something in him. Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. Scarred. Battered. Wounded. We come to you with our paradigms. Lord, we're not coming to you as lost men and women. We're not bringing our cigarettes and our marijuana and our dope and our LSD and our porn magazines and church membership. But we're bringing our paradigms, our subconscious, our hurts, the things that have been so embedded in us. We want to bring them to the cross tonight. I realize, Lord, a lot of what I am today, no doubt, has been these things in me. I don't know why I've waited this long in my life to hear it now. 56 years old. But I know you're still a miracle worker. And I know you'll help me if I'll help myself. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, may you help us tonight. May we be willing to bring our subconscious with these paradigms, with these learned behaviors and traits. May we lay them right there at the foot of the cross. We might not want anyone else to look at it. And that's one thing about you. We can all be at the foot of the cross at the same time. And each one of us have a privacy stall where no one can peep over and hear our deepest secrets. No one can look over our shoulder and see what's laying there before you. So each of us come collectively, but yet privately. We lay our paradigms at your cross. We lay our subconscious, which we thank you for. Thank you for giving it to us. But being made the way it is, it don't understand jokes. It don't understand how to sort through. It just takes all the things. So we lay all that before you. Help us, Lord. Help us, I pray, that we can really look at our internal self-talk and what we say about ourselves and what we say about others. And get the real true perspective of who we are. Grant it, Lord. I want to be the first one, Lord. Not that I think I am first, but let me just, as the minister, as a shepherd, let me come up before you tonight and say, search my paradigms. Search my subconscious. You who knew the imagination of the heart in the Old Testament, you certainly still know it tonight. Search us deeply, Lord God. Hallelujah. See what's in us that hinders us even now, even tonight. Grant it, Lord. Heavenly Father, I hold in my hand these prayer calls, dear God, for these people. They don't come to this assembly, but yet, Father, they had enough confidence in our church with these needs in their home to ask for prayer. And ask Brother Frank if they would have a prayer cloth prayed over. May your anointing, I pray, Lord Jesus, go with it, dear God. Lord, may you not just go to us here, but those that's streaming, those that'll hear this service in a couple of weeks from now, down in South Africa, in Norway tomorrow, wherever they are. May you go there in their home. Lord, may you look at each of us, dear God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands as a sign of universal surrender? Lord, I want to give you all of me. My spirit, my soul, my mind, my imagination, my subconscious, my first conscience. Search me deeply, Lord. Search me deeply, Lord. If I've got toxic thoughts, detox my brain, Lord. We detox our body and detox this and detox that. Lord God, detox our brains, Lord. Toxic thoughts lead to toxic emotions and toxic faith. Lord, how many folks in this message are nothing but a spiritual toxic dump? Oh, they can quote like a machine gun, but they're a toxic dump. They have nothing good to say about anybody. Lord, they have no love of God in their heart. Help us, Jesus. I don't want to become like that, Lord. Bitter and hateful and contrary. Oh, sure, we stand for what's right and must be firm at times. But God, help us not to take on a toxicity in our spirit, Lord. Or we become bitter. The prophet said, if we become bitter, we'll drive the Holy Spirit right away from us, Lord. I don't want you out there on a dove, on a limb somewhere, dove of God. I want you right here in my heart. I want to hear the sound of the flutter of your wings, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I need you, Lord God, like never before. Make me sensitive, Lord. Make me sensitive. Search me, Lord God. Not for radioactive material, but for toxic thoughts and toxic emotions and toxic faith. Anything, Lord, that's toxic about my life. Send the Holy Ghost to clean me up, Lord God. Hallelujah. Any way I treat my wife, any way I treat my kids, any way I treat anybody, Lord, it's displeasing to you. Help me to see it. Any way I treat anybody that differs with me, help me, Lord. Grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God. Anybody feel that same way with me tonight? Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Search us, O God. Search our hearts, our imagination, our thoughts. Scan us tonight, O God, with your great MRI, as it were. Do that CT scan of the cross over our hearts, our souls, our minds, our beings, Lord. Help us, dear Jesus. Lord God. Lord God.
Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me, let it fade away. Oh, Jesus. Closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and obey. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me, let it fade away. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord. And obey. worship and obey. Jesus, draw.
The more
cup in your hand, lay back against you. Feel your heartbeat. Your love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's so overwhelming. The more I see, the more I find you.
Yeah, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord God. The more I find you, Jesus.
The more I love you, Lord.
Let's worship Him together, saints.
Sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you.
Yes, Lord God.
Your love is so deep. It's more than
Lord,
I
Jesus,
can
we worship you, dear God. We worship you, dear God.
In your peace.
Hallelujah, so Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me appreciate His word.
Amen.
These doctors and professionals and people who deal with this stuff, they say one of the best ways for you to find out who you are and to know what you really think about yourself is take a blank sheet of paper and a pen and be honest. And write what you really think about yourself. Are you hopeless? Are you helpless? Are you a failure? Is your situation beyond repair? And then when you go to writing those things in honesty, then you can focus on what you need to replace. Then take another sheet of paper and put it over on the other side. And all the negative ones you put here, put a positive one from His word. It looks impossible, but nothing is impossible to them that believe. It looks like there's no way out, but He is a way when there is no way. Then you start replacing those paradigms. And then once you get the good ones in there, then you keep reminding yourself, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Savior, I shall not be moved. I'm in His love and favor. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. Sing it right. Oh, His prophet, and we shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved.
of God, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. I'm going in the rapture. I shall not be moved. I'm going in the rapture. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Thank you, Lord.